If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary, hosted by me, somebody fancy. My name is Spencer. This is episode F177. Sometimes I'm so tempted to keep that going for a while, but I feel like maybe people don't want to hear that. I don't know. Also, sometimes it's just weird to read the dictionary as a character. Hey, let's talk about the words. The first word is forerunner. F-O-R-E-R-U-N-N-E-R. Noun from the 13th century. Number one, one that precedes and indicates the approach of another. The thing that comes first, it's indicating something else is coming, like 1A, a premonitory, premonitory or premonitory sign or symptom. I'm trying to think of another form of that word, or maybe I don't know one. Premonitory sign or symptom, like a premonition, that's the same word we're dealing with. But I don't know how to say premonitory. Anyway, it doesn't matter. A premonitory sign or symptom. It's a premonition of a thing. It's like, oh, this thing is coming. You better be aware of that. Number 1B, a skier who runs the course before the start of the race. They are the forerunner. They're running the course. Why do you have skiers go down first? To make sure that there's no loose rocks that are going to start an avalanche? That would be bad. Make sure everything is A-okay with the course. It's good. You can now ski. Have fun, skiers. Number 2, the synonyms are predecessor and ancestor. The people who came before us, the forebears, foremothers, forefathers. All right, synonym time. More synonyms. Forerunner, precursor, harbinger, and herald mean one that goes before or announces the coming of another. Forerunner is applicable to anything that serves as a sign or presage or presage. Presage makes sense, but it could be presage, like preface and preface. I like to say preface, but it's really preface. The example for forerunner is the blockade was the forerunner of war. The blockade came first, and we knew that once they set up the blockade, like in Les Miserables, didn't they put up a blockade? Then they were like, oh, our war's coming. Great. You guys put up a blockade. Now we got to deal with war. Precursor applies to a person or thing paving the way for the success or accomplishment of another. I didn't realize that it had such a specific meaning. A precursor is something good is coming for something or somebody. As in, 18th century poets like Burns were precursors of the Romantics. We couldn't have the Romantics without Burns. I don't know anything about the poetry, so I don't know who or what they did, other than writing poetry. I know Shel Silverstein and Dr. Seuss. Okay, the next one is up here. It is harbinger. Ooh, I typically hear harbinger of death, harbinger of something bad. So let's see what this says. Harbinger and herald both apply chiefly figuratively to one that proclaims or announces the coming or arrival of a notable event, as in, their early victory was the harbinger of a winning season. Because the team won in the beginning of the season, that meant that they were going to win more, or it didn't mean that they were going to win more. It was just the beginning of them winning more because it was a notable event, them winning, because they lost all the other times in the past. The herald, this is the other example using the other word, the herald of a new age in medicine. Maybe penicillin was a herald in medicine, a new age in medicine. There's lots of new ages in medicine. Maybe bringing other people, other in Western medicine specifically, bringing people in who are not white men into medicine, that would also be a new age. That's a good herald, because it's only going to get better when you bring in all these other peoples. All right, I think that's it for Forerunner, and I must make a sound effect, and I have no idea what it's going to be. It's going to be boom. Next is foresaid. Like, those things I said to you, they were very important. You should listen. I said them before I said other things. I foresaid them. Adjective from before the 12th century. This is archaic. And the synonym is aforesaid, with just the letter A at the start. Boom. Next is for sale. I got these socks for sale. No, not that for sale. It's foresail. Noun from the 15th century. Number one, the lowest sail set on the foremast of a square-rigged ship or schooner. And it says to see the sail illustration. So we've seen sails and boats come up a number of times here in the fore section. And so it's the lowest sail on the foremast, the mast that's in the front of the boat. And this is the lowest sail, so it's the foresail. It's the first one, I guess, because you count from front to back and then down to up, I'm guessing. Number two, the sole or principal head sail. And this head sail might be on what? It might be on a sloop, a cutter, or a schooner. And those are different types of bicycles. No, they're different types of boats, I think. A dinghy? Maybe dinghies don't have sails. I just like to say dinghy. Poof. Next is foresee. This is a verb from before the 12th century. It is just transitive, I think. And it means to see beforehand. That's pretty much it. But the thing that you might be seeing is a development. Ooh, what is this development? Ooh, there is a development happening in the future. I can see it with my eyes, but not my real eyes, my other eyes. And the development is that we have more words coming. Foreseer is a noun. Oh, sometimes I wish I could be a foreseer. Just know what's coming on. But also, you know, you kind of don't want to know what's coming. That's the fun and beauty of life, of just witnessing it as it happens. Yeah. 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 But hey, guess what? We got another set of synonyms. Foresee, foreknow, divine, and anticipate mean to know beforehand. That's it. To know beforehand. Foresee implies nothing about how the knowledge is derived and may apply to ordinary reasoning and experience. Oh, like I'm just using, implies nothing about how the knowledge is derived. We don't know how it was derived, but it seems like it's mostly about like, oh, you can just use your normal experience of a situation, the normal information and data that's out there in the world, and you can be like, oh, okay, well, based on all of that, I think this is going to happen, which is honestly something that I think a lot of us could do, but we don't really do. We don't really think about putting all this information together and using it to extrapolate what's going to happen down the line. And I think about that sometimes. I want to be a little bit better about having that sort of that foresight. That's another version of this word. The example is economists should have foreseen the recession. Oh, and that is something that we are dealing with currently. There are people who are saying that there is a recession coming, and maybe by the time this episode airs in June, I'm in early May, this is a month away, maybe the recession will have arrived. Oh, yay. No, we don't want a recession. Oy, oy, oy. I mean, I guess to some degree, it could be things could be much better after the recession. There maybe could be an argument to be made that you gotta make something worse, break it down before it can be better. But also, it really sucks in the meantime, and people can be losing jobs and losing health insurance and lots of bad things, and we don't want those things to happen. So maybe all this tariff bull crap should go away. Should I start swearing? I think I've asked this before. Sometimes I've, like, just fuck it. Just swear. You know, I don't think there's a lot of kids watching this anyway, listening to this anyway. So who gives a goddamn shit? Maybe this would be more fun if I talked like that. All right, let's keep on going. For no, this is more synonym stuff. For no usually implies supernatural assistance as through revelation. Ooh, the supernaturals are coming in and feeding into my brain so I can foreknow things. As in, if only we could foreknow our own destinies. Oh, if only we could know them, then we would make different decisions. But can you change your destiny by going a different route, making a new decision? Or maybe you were meant to do that thing the whole time, but then it wouldn't have been your destiny in the first place? If you keep on going down this path, you're going to have a destiny. I think that's one of those things that if you're like, well, as long as nothing crazy happens, if I keep doing what I'm doing, then it's pretty logical that this thing is going to happen. So you can probably largely figure out your destiny. You know, there's things you don't have control over. But, you know, if you want, I said this recently, if you want a certain goal, there are steps that you can take to reach that goal. If you don't take those steps, you're not going to reach that goal. So to a certain degree, you can control your destiny. I think, maybe, I don't know. Okay, the next one is divine. Divine adds to foresee the suggestion of exceptional wisdom or discernment. As in, was able to divine Europe's rapid recovery from the war. So, divine automatically makes me think of another supernatural sort of thing, or a god, religion, whatever, but I guess not necessarily. So it adds to foresee the suggestion of exceptional wisdom or discernment. So foresee was all about taking the available information and extrapolating what the future might be, but divine is like, I'm so much smarter than all of you other people who are foreseeing things. I have divine knowledge. I can take all that stuff and make an even better prediction. Right? Right. That's what it's saying. Anticipate implies taking action about or responding emotionally to something before it happens. As in, the waiter anticipated our every need. The waiter knew what we wanted. They were like, I'm pretty sure they're going to want some food. So when they sit down, I'm going to give them a menu because I think that's going to be what they want. It's also going to have drinks on there in case they want drinks and no food, or maybe they want both. I'm going to anticipate that. Yeah. Just thinking about, I think this is going to be the future. I have foreseen this, so I will do something now to allow that to happen, to be aware that that's happening, to help that thing along. Anyway, let's move on to the next word. It's foreseeable.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy Lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Adjective from 1804. Number one, being such as may be reasonably anticipated. And this is one of those definitions I do not care for at all. Being such as may be reasonably anticipated, as in foreseeable problems. Something that can be anticipated reasonably. Okay? I see it coming. Oh, that car crash, I saw it coming. When all those cars were braking and I wasn't braking, yep, I hit the cars. Number two, lying within the range for which forecasts are possible, as in the foreseeable future. This is a future range that we have information for so we can see it. That future is foreseeable because we have the data. If we choose to look at it, we can figure it out. Foreseeability is a noun. Next is foreshadow. This is a verb, a transitive verb from 1577, to represent, indicate, or typify beforehand. And the synonym is prefigure. And foreshadower is a noun. But man, I thought there would be more to this definition, because this is such a big thing that is used in literature, stories, movies, anything that is story-based, narrative-based, might have some sort of foreshadow thing in there. If you don't know what it is, I don't think that that definition helped. To represent, indicate, or typify beforehand. It's like it sort of gets there. It's mentioning a thing subtly before it happens. And of course, you know, in movies, that's always my go-to because I've never read a book in my life. In movies, sometimes at the beginning of the movie, they will show something, say something. Maybe a musical thing will happen, and it's foreshadowing something that's going to happen later. Ooh, that's a very clever thing that you did there, foreshadowing the candle blowing out. Okay, that was foreshadow. Next is foreshank. Now, I think of shank as getting shanked in jail with a shiv. You shanked me, but you did it before the other guy shanked me, so this was a foreshank? Foreshank, noun from 1924. No, this is a different shank, because it's a noun, it's not a verb. The upper part of the foreleg of cattle, also meat cut from this part. So let's see, we had forequarter in the previous episode, that was a meat thing. The upper part of the foreleg. So, you know, you take the cattle, you find its foreleg, the upper part closer to the main part of the body is the foreshank, because it's the shank, but it's the foreshank. So is there a back shank? Again, I am not interested in all of these meat things. Okay, moving on to foresheet. Foresheet, noun from 1667. Number one, one of the sheets of a foresail. I guess they call them the sheets, not the sail. The sail is made up of sheets. The foresail can have multiple sheets. Sheet! Number two is plural. The forward part of an open boat is the foresheets. Four sheets to the wind. Next is foreshock. We had something else that was related, didn't we? It wasn't the aftershock, obviously. It was a I don't remember. So foreshock is a noun from 1902. Any of the usually minor tremors commonly preceding the principal shock of an earthquake. Maybe foreshock was a synonym for something else, because I definitely remember reading this I want to find it, but I maybe don't. I'm not able to find it. It's okay. It's okay. It's fine. For I'm scanning all these four words. It's so many four words. Okay. Forget it. So Foreshock. Yeah. It's the little tremors that come before the big tremors. By the way, just recently there was a thing going around that they were saying that they were coming out with a new Tremors 8-part series on Netflix, and it turned out that it was fake. Somebody had faked it, but it was so apparent, so believable. It had spread enough that like the AI things thought it was real. Other I think news outlets thought it was real, but it's not real. They are talking about doing more Tremors with Kevin Bacon, but this one was fake. And I think I only saw the first Tremors movies, but it's so the first one, but it's so good. And I would love to see a sequel to all that. All right. So that was Foreshock. I don't know if I've ever been in an earthquake. I do remember being, I think I was in China for work, and it started vibrating like while I was in bed in my hotel. And I was like, pretty sure that was an earthquake. Not sure, but it seemed likely. It was relatively minor, and then it stopped. Okay, next is For Sure. Ah, For Sure. Let's be friends. Noun from 1764. Number one, a strip of land margining a body of water. The foreshore. So there's the shore, but there's the foreshore. What is the difference between the shore and the foreshore? A strip of land margining a body of water. It's just next to a body of water. Is that not the shore? Is it the shore before the shore? Number two, the part of a seashore between high water and low water marks. Is that the difference between high tide and low tide? This space. So you got low tide here and the water. Let's see. This is the water. This is the sand at low shore and low tide. And then at high tide, the water goes all the way over here and then the sand's over here. So is this space here the foreshore? And then after the high tide where the water doesn't reach, is that the regular shore? Maybe. I don't know. I guess that kind of makes sense. It's like a transition zone. Okay, foreshore. Now we got foreshorten. Transitive verb from 1606. Number one, to shorten by proportionately contracting in the direction of depth so that an illusion of projection or extension in space is obtained. Now this is a thing that people are doing when they're drawing, painting figures or something that's supposed to look like it's sort of coming at you, but it's a very hard thing to make look accurate. To shorten by, maybe I'll post a picture of foreshortening on the social media. Maybe an example of something that's not foreshortened and something that is foreshortened. I think I sort of understand the concept, and I've heard this word used a lot in this way, but I don't know if I fully get it. To shorten by proportionately contracting in the direction of depth so that an illusion of projection or extension in space is obtained. So I don't know what the shortening is exactly, but you're making it look like it's sticking out towards you in depth like that. Yeah. Okay. Number two for foreshorten, to make more compact. So you are literally, like, if you want to make your foot look like it's sticking out in a drawing, you have to make it look like it's shorter than it is, because that will make it look like it's sticking out. Oh, I don't know. The synonyms for, let's see. Yeah, to make more compact, the synonyms are abridge and shorten. So this isn't like a drawing thing necessarily. This is just anything that you're compacting. Like this, I'm making myself abridged and shortened. Like that. I'm foreshortening myself. The last word. Foreside. F-O-R-E-S-I-D-E. Noun from the 14th century. the front side or part. And the synonym is just front. That's it. All right, let's pick a word of the episode. What do you think the word of the episode should be? Well, I think the word of the episode should be one of these words. Forerunner, foresaid, foresail, foresee, foreseeable, foreshadow, foreshank, foresheet, foreshock, foreshore, foreshorten, and foreside. I'm going to pick foreshadow as the word of the episode. Why are we using the word shadow there? It's like a shadow of the thing that's to come. The shadow of the thing to come is the foreshadow. Foreshadow. Foreshadowing. That's really foreshadowing and scary. Foreshadow. Foreshadow. All right. That's it for that. Let's see. I shall tell you about another movie. That's what I love to be doing, talking about movies all the time. Oh, we just watched a movie last night. What did we watch? I wrote it down. Oh, okay. We watched Repo Man from 1984. This is a very interesting movie. It was honestly a bit slower than we would have liked or were expecting. Apple, because we rented it on Apple, Apple calls it a nonstop action comedy. And it is not nonstop. There are definitely some slow parts. But that being said, I enjoyed the silliness of it. It was much more weird and silly and funny than I was expecting. I hadn't read much about it. I just knew the general concept. But boy, they were like throwing a lot more in there than what the general description says. There's commentary on the state of America in various ways. There's just some really weird, silly lines and characters. The one that made me laugh the most, it's not like it's a spoiler or anything. There were a lot, actually, throughout the movie. Pretty early on, I was like, oh, this is going another direction than I thought. But the one that I liked the best was they were in a hospital, and we watch everything with captions. So thank God, because I would have missed so many funny lines without the captions. They're in the hospital, and over the PA, it says, they mentioned somebody's name. We'll just say it was Paul or whatever. They were like, over the PA, can you please return the scalpel, Paul? And it's just so funny because it's like some guy who worked there stole a scalpel and they knew he stole the scalpel. And what is he doing with this scalpel? What are you going to do with it? It's honestly way more entertaining than it. I don't know. Is it appropriately entertaining? Is it exactly what it's trying to be? I don't know. I quite enjoyed the ridiculousness of it. It's one of those that I feel like I could sit and talk about while I'm watching it if I ever had the time to do that again. I've done a couple of those in the past, videos of me talking about movies, and then you can play the movie as we're watching it together. All right, that's going to be the end of this episode. Thank you so much for checking this thing out. Go share it and subscribe and smash that like button. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.